everybody listen to Derek Carter. Yeah. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to a Pocket Party. Pocket Party. Durant.
And we're back. Hi, everybody. It's Darren Carter, the party starter. And I want to thank you guys so much for once again tuning into the Pocket Party Podcast. I got to tell you, as of this recording with my YouTube channel, I have 2,247 subscribers. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Seriously. I seriously thank you. When I first started podcasting, I think I only had 1,030 subscribers, and I kept little by little promoting the YouTube channel, putting out more content, and now it's just getting better and better. I figured out how to edit a couple years ago, and I put up a video this last week, and check it out. I went to the Alameda Comedy Club. It's a brand new business that wanted to open in May of 2020. They bought the building. They started doing construction in 2019, and then COVID hit. And you'll see, I take you on a tour all through the club and what it's like, and it's a pretty cool video. And for me, this is exciting because it's been up less than 24 hours and it has over 100 views. Which, you know, if anybody here has ever tried to post something on YouTube, you know how it's difficult. I mean, of course, there's the people that you know they get thousands of views and. But I'm not one of them yet. I mean, some of my older videos have, but the newer ones, it's like, man, you know, it's exciting that people are let me give you a quick rundown. I got the Alameda Comedy Club. That's a great video. I put on a Words of Wisdom with Rick Ramos. That's up there. More Griffith Park Adventures with my son. I saw a bird actually eat a rodent. I got the whole thing on film. I know it sounds creepy, but I saw that. And I'm like, oh, I got to film that. So I filmed it. You could see it. That one's doing really well. Another video I have, bowling is back in Los Angeles. My son and I, Austin Bass Boss, went bowling and I vlogged it. I think this vlogging thing is doing well. I'm vlogging more on there, you know, and it seems to be doing almost better than the podcast. But I will continue to do the podcast because the podcast numbers are doing well on the audio side. But as far as YouTube, sometimes people prefer to, you know, listen on the go, and they might want to listen through Spotify or iTunes or Stitcher or whatever. But anyways, I just want to thank everybody who came out to the shows in Alameda. Thank you guys so much. It was really incredible just to see a live audience again and hear those laughs. And the rust is definitely off. You know, I remember I felt a little rusty that first show I did in Arizona a few months ago. And then I was back in business the next night in El Paso was totally back in normal. And once again, this was just great. Alameda, you know, I did my set and they have three cameras. They have a switcher. They're filming it. So I'll be putting up footage sometime in the near future. And the last show of the night, I was so loose. And I want to give a shout out to Kevin Trotter, Coffee Zombie. He came to the show and Kevin knew me before I did stand up back when this was just a thought, a dream, something I wanted to do. I worked at Carl's Jr. by the airport in Fresno. It was my high school job, and I worked there a little after high school. And I remember that he came in with a buddy of his. They were taking their lunch break or their dinner break. They worked at a radio station two blocks away. And I go, you guys work at X104? That's crazy. I do voices. And back then, I was just like this. I mean, you guys know me now. Imagine like an energetic Darren Carter with like so excited about life and the possibilities of taking my talent somewhere. I go, you guys work at the radio station? Watch this. I go, can I do something for you? And they're like, yeah, go for it. And I did this cartoon rap. I'm like, Kermit the Frog, and I'm covered in green. This piggy is fat. That's F-A-T, but it's my prerogative. When my name is Bullwinkle, I am a moose. Give me the mic, and I'll cut loose while it blows me down. I couldn't be hipper. Shiver me timbers of a Chippendale stripper. And I think a few more things in that rap. And they were laughing. They go, man, you got to come over to the radio station and say hi. And I'm like, oh, cool, man. These two DJs think I'm hilarious. So they introduced me to the program director. Come to find out that Kevin and his buddy were not radio DJs. They worked behind the scenes in like the call center, the market research department of the radio station for minimum wage, but that was okay because it got my foot in the door. And yeah, man, I worked at that radio station, and that's kind of what kicked off stand-up and radio and figuring all this stuff out. And here I am. I have my own radio station, the Pocket Party Podcast. By the way, I really do have my own radio station, if you can call it that. If you go on Spotify or Pandora, all of my albums are on there, and you just create the Darren Carter and all my comedy album streams for free. And just like podcasts, it's free, and YouTube, it's free. So if you do want to do a digital tip just to kind of send something back, no pressure, but I'm on Venmo at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo, at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo, PayPal. You can PayPal me, go to DarrenCarter.com. I got a PayPal link, DarrenCarter.com, PayPal link. And if you like Cameo, you want me to do a special Mother's Day shout out or something, you got a birthday coming up or someone has a birthday, I'll do a personalized video shout out. And like I like to say, I do it at rock bottom prices. Guys like, you know, Snoop Dogg and those guys, they charge like almost $1,000 for a video message. And I do it for like, I think as of this recording, I think it's $25. And yeah, so there you go. Anyways, let's get into the podcast. It's a great one. I got Fraser Smith. Thanks for taking us along on your ride or your run or your jog, or if you're one of those people that like to sleep to podcasts, have sweet dreams. I'm Darren Carter, and don't hurt nobody. All right, now be careful. Have a great day. Let's start that party in your ear holes.
Pocket Party.
Big D.
On the line, we've got the one and only Mr. Fraser Smith. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Darren. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, I hit record. I got my coffee. We are ready to rock. I made my own coffee today. Usually my wife makes it. I made a blend of 6 scoops of vanilla and seven scoops of vanilla and 3 scoops of Hawaiian. So for a total of 10 scoops.
That's going to keep you wired for a little bit there, buddy.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever like mix flavors when you're making coffee?
Well, no, because now I have a pacemaker, Darren, as you know, and so I don't need coffee.
Your heart just goes.
This thing you're off to the races as soon as you open your eyes.
You're like ding. I told how comics are. I told a comic, I go, hey, Fraser got a pacemaker, and he's like, I wonder if it'll help his timing.
Folks, can I? You know, it has thrown my timing off. Now I do all my jokes in like 12 seconds.
They're like, hey, Fraser, can you do a half hour? Slow it down. Record it and slow it down.
I can do a half hour in about 3 minutes.
Do you find yourself like talking faster and being a little jittery up there or off stage?
Yeah, well, on stage it really hasn't bothered me too much. In fact, it gives you that little bit of extra energy, you know. Where I notice it is like I do a hockey podcast with Joe Bartnick and Andy Picaro. I think you know those guys. Yeah. And they're both really good comedians. And we do a hockey podcast, and we've done that for about 7 years now. You know, I really don't know that much about hockey. Joe's like a complete expert. You know, he knows everybody in the league. And I have to do homework. I have to study the night before and watch the NHL channel and try to catch up. And I know about maybe a third of the names. And there's some tricky names in hockey, too, because a lot of them are European and Russian. And, you know, so I have a hard butcher the names, and then all the comments on YouTube are like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But anyway, I have fun doing it because it gets you an audience all around the country and all around the world. You know, all of a sudden I've got fans in these hockey hotbeds like Boston and Philly and New York and Canada, you know, places where nobody knew about me before, you know, but so it's real good for that. But I noticed that after I got the pacemaker, the guys were laughing about it. On our first podcast back, I talked so fast that Joe goes, Fraser, I couldn't even understand what you were saying. You were just flying, you know. But I think you adjust to it. That's what they tell you anyway. So hopefully that will happen.
That's funny, man. I remember you were very relaxed about it. You know, like the week before, you're like, I think I'm going to turn into the bionic comic.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I thought maybe I could, I would wind up. I didn't know how I would come out of this thing. I thought maybe I'd wind up like, "Hello, Darren. It is me, the Bionic Comic. Where are you from? Hello, Joe Biden. He is a weird guy. I don't know. He can't remember. He fell down the steps at Air Force One. He said, next time I'm going to take the elevator." That's all I thought I would sound.
"Hi, lady. May I get your phone number in the front row? My number is 100110011 ones and zeros.
I messed up that joke. Recalculating.
Recalculating. Bionic Comic. Staying away from Chronic.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bionic Chronic comic could use some Chronic. It might slow him down a little bit.
Oh, man. Can you imagine Snoop Dogg with the pacemaker? Because he's right now, he's, "Wow, I'm laid back. What's up, Fraser? Yeah, I know nothing about hockey neither."
He wouldn't be as laid back as he usually is if he had the pacemaker.
He'd get the thing and think, "Hey, does anybody have any gin and juice? Oh, it's like, for some reason, I got an Irish accent now, and I'm wired and wired for sound. Oh, Long Beach, LBC, bitches.
Give me the microphone first so I can burst like a bubble.
Compton and Long Beach, now you know you're in trouble.
You know we're in trouble.
Compton and Long Beach, now you know you're in trouble." Oh, that was a joke I did when I first moved to LA. I said, this is back when people would buy maps. I said, I didn't really have a map. I would just go by what I heard on songs like Compton and Long Beach. Now you know you in trouble. I was like, I don't want to be in trouble. Better not move there. And then Inglewood. Yeah, remember that song, Inglewood, up to no good. Oh, I'm going to be on my best behavior. And then there was another song, and I changed the dial. Little old lady in Pasadena. That sounds like a nice neighborhood.
You know. Those are good jokes. You know, it's funny. I think I told you this on one of your previous podcasts. I always love doing your podcasts, and I may have already said this, but I got into rap late, you know.
I may have already said this. I got into rap late. I can't stop doing the Bionic Comic.
I must do it as a Bionic Comic. I got into rap late. I did not know a lot of the classics. You know, I'm primarily a rocker. I mean, I've worked in rock radio forever. So, but I really love rap, and I got into it. But, you know, I was just like, now I'm listening to things like Ain't Nothing But a G Thing. You know, all the old classics everybody else has listened to, you know, 15 years ago, I'm now starting to listen to.
And there's something hip about that, because they don't expect, you know, someone, because usually people, you know, like they know the songs, they're probably in their 20s and 30s. So to see a guy that's a little older reciting lyrics, it's like, whoa, how do you do that? Like, I didn't even, you know, it's kind of cool.
Well, you know, I really get into the lyrics. I love them. But I have to play it over and over to pick them up, you know.
Yeah.
But I do love Snoop and Dre. All that early stuff, and the stuff I was into really early was, you know, Grandmaster Flash, because I remember I had them on my radio show before anybody knew anything about rap, and they did the show, and they were out here doing a show at the Country Club in Reseda, of all places. Remember that place?
Yeah. What songs did they?
Was their big hit?
Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge.
Yeah, all that stuff, you know. But I like Kool Moe Dee and Shock G. Passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, it was a favorite. And Big Daddy Kane, that was kind of my era.
I remember you used to do the the Kool Moe Dee lyrics. Remember we did it on the radio with you at KLOS. That was cool. I couldn't believe you knew the lyrics. I was like, my God, you know.
I throw my tape on, then I watch you. 3 seconds later, I got you. Shaking your head, rapping instead. The beat kicks, the rhyme's hitting. Hitting like a home run, slamming like a slam dunk. You ride the wave, the James Brown pay funk. Happen to James, like it happened to me. How do you think it feels to see another MC get paid? Using my rap style, well, I'm playing the background. Meanwhile, I ain't with that. You can't forget that. You took my style, I'm taking it back. Screaming like a demon, I'm screaming and demon. I'm from the old school. I used to see men die for less, but I'm not living that way. I let my mic do the talk. talking and let the music play.
Oh, I got to hear you. Can you do a couple of lines?
And let the music play.
Yes, there you go. Do it like the Bionic Comic. Yeah. Here's Grandmaster Flash as the Bionic Comic. It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. I'm cheating because I have the lyrics in front of me, but here we go. Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stairs. You know they just don't care. Broken glass everywhere. Yeah.
I'm coming back like Return of the Jedi. Sucker MCs in the place that said I can only rock rhymes. Only rock rhymes, never rock records. I like me now.
Here we go. Do you remember this part? He goes, don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Yeah, but as a bionic comic, it'd be like, sometimes it makes, it's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Gosh, that's funny. I'm reading these lyrics. I'm like, I didn't even know. I just like the sound of it. I guess it's like when you're a kid and you watch a movie and you don't necessarily have to be living in the place where the movie takes place, but it your imagination takes you there. And, you know, growing up in Fresno.
I think that's true. I think it's true. I mean, and you know, whoever heard of Compton before these guys started rapping about it, you know?
I never did. I never heard of, I remember I did a music video. I got to be in a guy's music video and it was in Torrance, California. And then after we did the video and I told people where it was at, they were like, you went to Torrance? But I'm like, for me, it was just a highway and then a soundstage and that's all I saw. But you're right. I don't think I ever heard of Compton or Inglewood or a lot of the towns that people
put it on the map. The guys put it on the map, you know. All of a sudden, Compton is famous around the world, you know. But there was one time, I guess, where no one knew where it was. I remember being in England, and the radio station had sent me over to London. This was a great gig for me. I got to be the chaperone for these winners of a contest on the radio station, and it was to go see Van Halen play in London at Wembley Stadium.
Wow.
And it was just an awesome gig. They sent me over. You know, you get paid. They paid for everything. We had limos that took us everywhere the whole week. You know, stayed at a cool hotel. It was just a bomb, you know. But I had to hang with these listeners. And the listeners were cool, you know. They were cool. And I flew over with them. Chaperone, I was the worst party animal of all. I don't see why they would send me. But anyway, they did.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, we go to the... we went to all different kinds of stuff. And then one day they sent us, to Windsor Castle, to see Windsor Castle, which is, you know, outside of London. And, it was really fascinating, but we're on the train headed out there. And I remember these kind of, young English hoodlums, kind of surrounded us. And I thought, oh no, you know, here we go. We're going to get into a fight here on the train.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden they come up to me and they go, do you know, and I can't do an English accent, but do you know who these, the rappers, do you know, Snoop Dogg? Are you friends with Snoop Dogg? All they wanted to know was about the, rappers, you know, they just love them in England.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's kind of like the blues, I've been reading a lot about the blues, and the blues made a resurgence, I guess, because over in England, like the guys got into them, you know, like the Rolling Stones and a lot of the English, you know, just how English, you know, the British, you would know more about this than me, but like the British invasion happened in America, I guess in England, they got into like a lot of American like 50s doo-wop artists and rock and roll artists and, you know, Neil Sedaka. That's how Elton John, he loved Neil Sedaka and they did Bad Blood. And then of course, like Eric Clapton and the blues.
Well, they really, the English people really like R&B music, and they always have. You know, I remember reading a thing about the first Motown tour in England, and well, Europe in general, and they were blown away by the fact that they had huge crowds because the English have always liked American R&B. And you're right, the Stones and Led Zeppelin and the Who and all those bands were big fans of the blues artists and soul artists of America. And, they got all the records and they knew all the lyrics and they've always appreciated our R&B. And even like Jimi Hendrix had to go to England to make it, you know, he wasn't making it here. He had to go over there and then they caught on to him and made him a big star.
You know, I don't know if you knew this, but your hockey podcast is just killing it in England.
Oh, yeah.
And so is Pocket Party Podcast. We're doing great in England.
They love us in England, man. Yeah, that's funny, right? Well, yeah, you know, but I mean, it's true. They've always liked our R&B music. And, you know, there's a funny story about when the Stones came over here. The guy they wanted to meet was Muddy Waters. And, you know, Muddy lived in Chicago and was on the Chess label. And so they went to the Chess Records, a legendary place, and they were looking, they were in the hallway, and they saw this guy who was painting the ceiling on a ladder. They said, "You know where we can find Muddy Waters?" And he goes, "I'm Muddy Waters."
Wow. Really? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, that's how it was in those days, you know. I mean, those artists weren't making big bucks over, you know, in America.
You know what song I love, man, by Muddy Waters is Manish Boy. Manish Boy.
Fantastic.
So good.
Song.
It's got that driving beat. And I want to say it was Edgar Winters that they re-recorded it and he helped him produce it. There's like a longer version. It's like a 5.5 minute version or something.
You're exactly right. Yeah. It was produced by Edgar Winter. Yeah.
It's so, and, so good.
Yeah. You know, that was a nice version of it. Muddy Waters, all those guys are legendary. You know, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy.
When you went to England, I thought you were going to say that they were going to either surround you and try to like do, you know, fight you guys or maybe like do breakdancing or something. But they were just curious about American artists.
They were curious about American artists and particularly rap artists.
Wow. Interesting. When you, I got to ask, as a DJ, you know, you win this, or they, the contest winners, you go over there with them. Was it a large group? Was it just like four people, two people?
It was probably 10, something like that. And, you know, and we went everywhere. We went everywhere together. The concert was at Wembley Stadium, you know, the legendary soccer venue where they also have a lot of concerts. And what was interesting to me, and I couldn't figure it out, it was Van Halen. And Bon Jovi. But back then, Van Halen was huge. But for some reason in England, they really didn't know them very well. They were big on Bon Jovi, who also became very big, of course. But at that time, they weren't nearly as big as Van Halen in America. But over there, I remember seeing the billboard when we got off the plane, and it was a giant Bon Jovi, and then in the tiny little thing in the corner with Van Halen.
You know? What the hey?
Yeah.
I think David Lee Roth has got to be one of the best frontmen that ever lived. I mean, that guy was so exciting to watch on stage, you know.
He is the best. He is the best. Well, you know, Jagger, it's hard to beat Jagger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jagger's probably number one, but David's right up there. He's, you know, one, two, or three.
Who do you think are in the top five, or let's say, or 5 to 10? You'd say Jagger?
Well, you got to put Freddie Mercury in there.
Oh, yeah, Freddie Mercury. Oh, you know what? The more you talk, the more David keeps getting bumped down. I'm like, dude.
It's hard to beat those two guys.
I know. You're like, yeah, because, Freddie Mercury, man. Like, I mean, come on, the whole getting the crowd to sing with, hey, oh, hey. You know, I mean, it was just so good.
He's a tremendous front man. And, you know, you can't forget the godfather of soul, James Brown. Yeah, I mean, what an amazing performer. He could do all those crazy dances and the splits and it wasn't exciting. In fact, a lot of those guys took their stuff from James Brown.
Yeah, isn't that true? Like, I remember, you know, I grew up with watching Michael Jackson, and then as time
went, Michael Jackson's another one.
Another
man.
One, yeah.
He might be number one. It's hard to top Michael Jackson.
It's hard to top Michael. I mean, people imitate. I mean, they imitated Mick Jagger too, but I mean, Michael Jackson was just the imitation just went beyond. I mean, even in elementary school, when people would imitate Michael Jackson, like the high school, the elementary school perform, like the assemblies, like I remember like some grown-ups came in and they were all dressed like the Jackson 5. And I mean, it's just, you know, people imitating the Jackson 5, but it was like tremendous. I mean, that cafeteria just exploded. We're like, wow, you know, the dance moves. And then I remember, you know, all through high school, people moonwalking and just the, you know, that was the thing to do. And Michael Jackson, Super Bowl performance. I mean, when he's just standing there and the crowd's going, ah, and he's just standing there with shades on, sunglasses, and he turns his head, and it's like, ah! And then he takes the sunglasses off. It's like, wow. And then remember, I don't know if you remember this, but at each corner of the stadium, like different fake Michael Jacksons popped up, and it was like, what the? That was so incredible, man. That's like,
well, It's hard to beat him as a performer. One of the very, if not the best. And Prince was an amazing performer, as you know, too.
Prince, I know. Man.
Now, there's a guy that was really great. And, you know, Tina Turner, an amazing performer. And also, you know, there's a guy named Jackie Wilson. I don't know if you remember Jackie
Wilson.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. When people would imitate, you know, I the older I got, I realized, like, oh, a lot of Michael moves came from other places. You know, they're influenced by Jackie Wilson and...
Well, that was Michael's idol, was Jackie Wilson, because he was the guy that started doing all those moves before anybody. You know, he could do the splits. He could do, you know, all the crazy dances. And, you know, another guy, and you got to look this up on YouTube. He's got a couple clips that are just out of this world, is Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley. Okay, I'm going to look that. I'm going to write that down. Bo.
Yeah. Check out some of his live stuff and his TV stuff. And he always had women guitar players on his, you know, on his shows too, which was kind of innovative back then. You know, he would showcase women, you know, and he had this one show. At one point, his band was like three guitar playing women that were just fantastic, and then a drummer and him. And he was just an amazing, electrifying performer.
That's cool. I wonder if Prince kind of took some influence with that, because there was something about having like Wendy and Lisa on stage with him. And there was something, you know, having women up there playing instruments. Like,
I think he might have. And but Prince was a tremendous performer as well. And you mentioned the Super Bowl. He had a legendary Super Bowl performance. Remember where it started raining right when he was playing Purple Rain?
How crazy was that? It's like, and cue the rain. And they just kept it going.
Oh, it was all part of the show,
I love that performance that Prince did at Coachella where he covered Creep, that song Creep. Oh, my gosh. If you've never looked that up on YouTube where he sings Creep, it's incredible.
What? And there's also one where he plays, I think it's a charity performance with Eric Clapton, George Harrison, Neil Young, and Prince. And they're playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Oh, I love that one.
Everybody is genius on this performance. Everyone on there, and I think Tom Petty as well is on there, and they're all great. But then he plays the lead at the end, the lead guitar. It's unbelievable. You got to check it out. At the end, when he's done, he just throws his guitar up in the air. It falls down on the stage and he takes off.
It's so awesome. You know, like I remember, I watched that one again and again, and you wonder where did the guitar go, because he goes. Meow.
I know, where did it go?
Throws it up and just walks away like a badass, like bam.
Instead of a mic drop, it was a guitar drop.
It was like, it just was. You know what, man? Believe it or not, you know who and my wife's a huge Rick Springfield fan, and I got the honor of opening him up for him twice. And Rick Springfield, like, he throws his guitar way up in the air and then catches it and keeps playing. I was like blown away. And you know, because, you know, he's a very handsome guy and all these women love him. They bring bouquets of roses to his shows, and they throw roses at him, and he catches the roses, and then he does like that big guitar thing where, like, boom, boom, and he swings his arm around and the guitar, the pedals fly everywhere. And I was blown away by that. I was like, wow. You know,
well, he's a talented guy too. And, you know, underrated guitar player. There's a lot of good musicians out there. What's great about YouTube is you can sit there and watch all those old classics, you know, and I love watching particularly the live performances because you can see some that you didn't really know about. And you're like, wow, not just performers you didn't know about, shows from bands that you didn't know about. Like I saw a thing from the Stones in Toronto in like 1990 or something, or 89. And I'd never seen that clip before. It was a live clip, and it was just unbelievable. You know, some of those old live performances were amazing. I was watching some stuff of the first US Festival.
Mm.
Remember out in California here? There was just some legendary performances on that show. Judas Priest had an amazing live set on that show that was just electrifying on the first US Festival.
I gotta look that up. That's one of my walk-on songs, the Judas Priest, the Midnight Song.
After Midnight.
Which is weird because during, you know, I've been going to bed, a lot of us have been going to bed early because everything was closed during, you know, the COVID. It was like, You know what I mean? Like restaurants are closed at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, if you're lucky.
And well, now that's why they redid the song that's now Living Before Midnight.
Living before midnight. Yeah. In bed by 7 p.m.
Yeah. It's not as exciting of a song, but, yeah. You know.
I know. Yeah, I did a comedy club this weekend. I was up at the shout out to everybody who saw me at the Alameda Comedy Club. And, yeah, they had a... You know, he was saying that they've been having trouble with the time because people, the late show's at 9, and he goes, people are like, 9 o'clock, because they're so used to being, you know, home, you know. And he's like, I might have to push it back to like, you know, the show's like 6 and 8 or something as opposed to like 7 and 9.
Yeah, people have to redo their schedules. Well, yeah, I heard your show's
recalculating,
went really well.
Recalculating my schedule.
That's right. I will be playing the early show at 3 p.m. So I heard your shows went great.
Oh, they went great, man. They you know, I did a vlog on it. People can check it out on YouTube. Look it up. It's Alameda Comedy Club, brand new club. This guy bought the building and had everything ready to go. Like they were building it, tearing stuff down in 2019. Their goal was to open May 2020. And it's like, that didn't happen. And it was like, what are we doing? And he's like, man, because you start second guessing everything. You know, you're dumping in like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars and you're like, what the heck? So, but this is like because it happened like that, it's a top of the line club, man. They have like, they bought these I don't know the word. It's probably what the airports or the airplanes use, but they have air filters that filter out new air every 15 minutes. You got new air coming in the place. They have all these cameras set up. So when the performer's on stage, they could do like a 3-camera shoot. The sound guy has a switcher and he's able to like switch back and forth from the audience to the comedian. And it's way better than, you know, like back in the old days, you would just do a show and that's it. It's just gone. There's no memory of it. Maybe you might have brought a tape recorder and taped it. That's it. And then cell phones came along and you could possibly put your camera in the back of the room and, you know, but there's waitresses walking back and forth. And then clubs started implementing cameras. But this is even next level because of all the different angles and,
Well, you know, I don't know if you ever saw my special. It was called Waitstaff, and I had it was just yeah. It was clips of just the waitresses and waiters walking in front of the camera, and
yeah,
oh, it was a big hit.
That was how bad was that? That used to be back in the day. You'd pay some guy to come film you. You know, you whatever, $100. Come film me. It's the set of a life. I've got to, you know, record this and submit it somewhere, and then. Sure enough, something always happens. The crowd doesn't respond the way you wanted them to. Or like I said, waitress, people are walking in front of the camera and then the thing's out of focus for half the set. It's like...
Yeah, they always have those horror stories, comics do, because, you know, usually the night you tape, something weird happens.
Yeah, and then and you know what
That's
it is?
That's why people tape several shows, you know, because there's usually one or two that go sideways and it just never fails. I think it's just... I don't know. It's just part of the game,
that's,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I love about when, you know, you and I did Las Vegas. We did the Tropicana Hotel, the Laugh Factory. It's great because they record every single show. And so what happens is you're not so aware of the camera. You're just doing your show. You know, when you're paying somebody to film you and you're very aware of the camera, it means so much to you. You know, you're like, I've got to do great so I can submit this to the Tonight Show. And as opposed to when there's just cameras rolling all the time when you're up there.
Well, it's true. You know, with my jokes... They're so bad, I actually pay the guys not to tape me.
Yeah, you're like...
Please don't tape this set, will you? Come on, do us all a favor.
We don't have a lot of time. I know you got to go, and I have a... So I want to... I know your time is very valuable to us, Bionic Comic.
That's right, my friend. I have to go to the mechanic, and I'm also buying some drinks for tonight. I'm going to get some WD-40... and some Pennzoil.
yeah, that's hilarious. Oh, what were the jokes that we said about the rope, about the Bionic Comic, about I have to, oh, you could be like, about ending your show. Do you remember how you're going to end your show? You have to, starts with a B.
I have to bolt.
Exactly. I have to bolt.
I'm sorry. I have to bolt. My favorite runner, Usain Bolt.
Who's your favorite musician?
My favorite musician is... Michael Bolton.
Enough of this screwing around.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, I want to thank you for writing me some great jokes, man. I mean, you are a really good joke writer. You know, I think your style, I mean, you always have jokes in your style.
Yeah, yeah.
But your style is kind of storytelling, you know, you're great at that. And you know, and then doing a kind of audience flow, I call it. And then, you know, ad-libbing and then you do some great impressions. And, you know, that's your thing. For me, it's just, I just do one-liners. But you're really, that's not your style, but you're really good at writing them.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, yeah, you wrote me a bunch that I'm doing now, and they all kill.
I love it, man. I'll be out there at the farm riding my bike. Right now I'm in Los Angeles, but I'll be at the farm riding my bike, or when I'm in L.A., I'll be at Griffith Park or, you know, one of the, you know, Friars or something. I'll be jogging, running somewhere, and I'm like, that's a good joke. Ooh, and I'll just, like, I'll put a little note, and then later on I'll call you, and I'm like, here's an idea. You know, I'm sweating like blah, 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 because... Yeah, it's so funny, and sometimes I'll try them out on the phone with a couple of friends, and here's what it is. They could picture you saying it, and then with your delivery, with the quick finger snap at the end, and they're like, God, Fraser's going to crush with that. Like,
they all love your Taco Bell joke.
Can you lay a few of those jokes on us before we bounce?
Well, the Taco Bell, when you say, you know, Taco Bell's coming out with its own wine, which is actually true. And so the joke is, which begs the question, what wine goes best with a chalupa? And then you go, actually, this wine is pretty good. It's been aged for like 12 seconds. It's good. It's got a nutty, fruity bouquet with just a hint of nacho cheese.
Come on, guys. And then you snap the finger.
Guys, knock it off. Come on. This is wine.
It's funny because you told me that premise, and then I was like, we came up with the jokes. And then I actually read I was either online or I was going to say in the paper, but I read online that they're like, the new Taco Bell in, I think, Danville, California has a bar. And I'm like, oh my God, Fraser was, that's the one he was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading that somewhere and thinking, why would they do that?
Oh, how about sweating like ones? It's hot up here.
I'm sweating like Gavin Newsom watching Total Recall. It's hot, guys. Hot. Sweating like Ellen at the employee picnic. Guys, come on. It's hot.
That's awesome.
Sweating like Rudy Giuliani at a Borat screening. Come on, folks. Yeah, I got a bunch of those, too, you know. Now, D, before, you know, we have a big boxing match coming up this week. I know you're a big boxing fan, and you've been working out with boxing, and it's been really great for you. You've enjoyed that and continue to enjoy that. Big boxing match. Canelo's taking on Billy Joe Saunders for the World Super Middleweight Championship. Mm. And they say that Canelo, this might be one he could actually lose.
Really? Well, okay, I got to look into that.
Well, Saunders is an English fighter, and he's really crafty and sneaky and tricky and lefty. So that may be a problem for Canelo.
For Canelo.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about our friend Jake Paul? Are you watching that whole circus?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man. I looked this up last night, and I'm having a hard time distinguishing Logan Paul from Jake Paul. Like, I'm not that.
They do look kind of similar. Well, they're brothers.
I know they're brothers. And, I know one's younger, and I even looked it up, and I'm like, because I'm like, oh, the one, that's the guy that fought KSI, but I was wrong about that. I think the other one fought KSI, and the one guy fought the basketball player, and then he fought, you know, Ben Askren. So I thought I almost wish it was just Jake Paul so I could just focus on one, because I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, because I think one of them, is it Logan? He's going to fight Floyd Mayweather?
He's going to fight Mayweather, yeah. Coming up.
Who's the better fighter out of Logan Paul and Jake Paul? Or do we have an answer? Do we know?
You know, I really don't know if I have an answer for that one. You know, but they've stirred up a lot of controversy. You know, a lot of people are mad at him. And a lot of people really want to see him get knocked out, both of them. And, you know, I think against Mayweather, Mayweather's going to take it easy on him. You know, he won't say that he is. But, you know, I mean, Paul weighs him by, you know, 50 pounds. And he's a pretty – they're both pretty good punchers. I mean, those two kids. But
you think if they really – like, let's say they really went for a real boxing match, because here's what I think. I think Floyd, like you said, he's probably going to, draw it out to the later rounds just to kind of give the people a show, you know.
Yeah.
Is that how it really goes down? Or do you think if he really wanted to just go in there and destroy someone like him, he could? Like, or does he have the power enough? Probably does, right?
I would imagine.
I would think so. I mean, you know, he's fighting a bigger guy, but, you know, he's a much more trained fighter. And I think he's probably going to carry him. I think that's what he did with Conor McGregor, too. You know, he let him go a few extra rounds so the fans get their money's worth. But, you know, I think if
is that dangerous? Because, I mean, is there always that chance of, like, you know?
There is always that chance. You know, there is. I think with Mayweather, a little bit less so, because he's such a great defensive fighter. You know, he can get away from punches and stuff pretty good. So, very well, actually.
I know just being a totally, like, I'm not going to say I'm untrained, but I'm like one notch above untrained, because I'm only, it's funny, I mostly do offensive boxing. Like, it's just me. It's like a one-way boxing. It's me in a bag, me shadow boxing. You know, I'm getting better at, like, punching and moving, getting out of the way. I'm not, you know, like this guy the other day, I was at the gym. He's been boxing for 14 years, but he's just I think he's a regular guy. I don't even know if he does pro fights. But he's like, yeah, you know, he goes, you know, if you ever want, you know, we could do drills where, you know, he goes, throw a 1-2-3 at me. So I hit him with the jab, hit him with the right, hit him with the hook, but just lightly, just to show him. And the guy just effortlessly just puts his hands up, parries, you know, and I'm like, I'm already looking at that. Like, what do I do again? It's like tying a shoe. Like, this string goes here, then this string goes there. Like,
no, it's hard. It's a hard sport. You know, it's really hard to learn. And I think you've enjoyed it from the workout standpoint.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Actual boxing is tough, and, you know, it's not easy, and I think those kids are pretty darn good for amateurs. But, you know, if they go up against a top pro, I think they'd be in trouble. You know, and I mean, Mayweather's at, you know, at the end of his career. I mean, he's basically retired, but he still has a lot of those skills. So, yeah, I think that's gonna. I think it would be lopsided if he really decided to go out there and knock him out. But it'll be entertaining, and the Paul brothers are great at promotion. You know, they sold out. Jake sold out Staples Center.
I know people are like, I mean, you know, it's something you talk about. People want it. Everyone's talking about it. You know, you go online or whatever, and people are excited the possibilities of the lucky punch, or there's a fight or puncher's chance, and, you know, them talking.
Well,
trash.
There always is that, and, you know, Jake Paul has a pretty good right hand cross. He can punch, and, you know, but I think against a really skilled fighter, they'd be in trouble. But
when you saw Ben Askren fight, I knew early on, I was like, well, even with the training, I was like, Ben Askren, he doesn't hold his hands like a boxer. And then when they were
Askren's, the whole thing there is they handpicked him for a reason, because he's a terrific wrestler. You know, he's a really world-class wrestler. And if it was wrestling, he would kill him. But since it's boxing, that's not Ben Askren's thing. And I think that's why they picked him, you know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of embarrassing for Ben. But, you know, it's not really his thing. But he did make a nice payday. And that's something that I think the fighters are coming around to a little bit, is that these Paul brothers are, because they have this thing, this promotion group called Triller, and they use the internet, they're able to build these gates up and these pay-per-views up where the fighters can make some real money.
Yeah. You know, and it goes back to the basics, chin down, hands up, you know, and it's funny.
Well,
at least that, because when I saw Ben with his hands down, I'm like, at least bring your hands up, you know, like.
Yeah, you're right. He really is unskilled in that area. So that was kind of an easy win for Jake Paul, but
by the way, I saw
if it was wrestling, it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, I took a tour when I was up in Alameda. I took a tour of the USS Hornet, and I was watching a video of a fighter pilot. He said that they didn't used to wear helmets, so what would happen is if the plane crashed and they bailed into the ocean, they would get knocked out unconscious and they would drown. He said so then they learned to, you know, not only put your helmet on, but like put your arm up in front of your face, like to, you know, to protect yourself. And I'm like, oh, that reminds me of boxing. Put your hands up, boom, right in front of you, just to protect your head.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, when you think about it, they're pretty basic moves. You know, it doesn't seem like rocket science.
Yeah,
but, you know, it really, as you know, as you found out, it takes a lot of coordination, and it takes a lot of
the gloves get heavy, your hands start dropping.
You have to be in great condition, and you also have to have some smarts out there to know, like he was showing you those basic moves. Those are moves that take a little bit of time to pick up, you know. You know, you're not just born knowing those things.
I know. I got a lesson from Sugar Shane Mosley. He came into the gym and showed me some stuff, and it was amazing.
Wow.
I got to upload that video. And it was, you know, it's things where you're like, I love it when boxers tell you this, when they're like, now when they do this, you know, you're going to go this. And now what comes natural? Now you're in position to do what? And you're like, I don't know. Like, they just, there's like this whole dance.
I'm in position to leave. Good night.
Exactly. Good night, folks. You're connecting to look for the exits. Quick, call 911.
Yeah.
A couple things before we go. I love that joke. You know, Gavin Newsom, because when you said, you know, he's watching the movie Total Recall, you know, he's got some competition out there for people trying to be the governor.
Well, yeah, he does. You know, I mean, that's why that joke works so well, because that's going on right now. And, you know, a lot of people have been mad at him. And I think, you know, it's also been kind of ironic how, you know, remember he was saying that really pushing the thing about wearing a mask and everything. And then, of course, he was caught at that restaurant not wearing a mask. Yeah. And everybody got on his case about that.
Do you remember the joke? Do you remember the joke? Like, who's running against him? California.
Oh, who was right?
Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah. Caitlyn Jenner. Oh.
What was the joke, though?
Oh, Caitlyn Jenner is running what is it? Caitlyn Jenner is running against Gavin Newsom.
Oh, yeah, okay, Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah, yeah. Well, that takes a lot of balls. Yeah, Gavin Newsom was like, what a dick. That's just nuts.
By the way, guys, just so you understand what's happening here, when Fraser's on, this stuff kills. It's just one joke after another. Bah, 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 bah. And what I'm doing to him is what comedians, it's hard when you're just like in you're not even in that mindset, and all the people are like setting you up for your jokes, and it's like, hey, Fraser, yeah. You know, I heard that I heard that NASCAR is you know, sponsors turtle wax, or how's, I don't even know how the setup goes.
Well, that one goes, NASCAR's got a car sponsored by Viagra. This thing's great. When you wax it, it turns into a limo. Guys, come on.
You come in first, second, and third.
Keep rubbing. You come in first, second, and third.
There you go. It's so hard. Like when people, you know, when people find out you're a comedian, sometimes in the daytime or just your everyday life, they're like, hey, you're a comedian. Tell me a joke. And you go from your, yeah, I was just going to do laundry. Okay. What's funny? It's like, it's weird to like be put on the spot, man.
Well, especially in the daytime. Comics don't like doing stuff in the daytime if we don't have to.
I know. Oh, I know, right? Especially like morning radio. I mean, this is pretty early when we're recording this, so it's like, you know.
Well, yeah, morning radio is another thing that comics really dread, but you kind of have to do it. You know that because you're on the road a lot. You know, you're on the road playing a club in a town, and you want to get an audience out there. So the best way to do that is go on the local morning radio show and hype things up. But yeah, that's usually at like, you know, 6 a.m. and you've been up the night before till, you know, doing your set until after midnight.
Yep.
After midnight. You've been living after midnight, and then you got to get up at 6 and go do the show. That's tough on a comic.
Okay.
But that's part of the plan.
We're going to end on, you're a radio guy. I know it's, you're mostly rock, but I got this for Christmas. Somebody gave me a trivia thing about 80s music, and I'm gonna ask you. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just 9 random questions. Let's see what you got. And listeners, if you're listening, see if you can beat Fraser. All right.
Oh, I'm sure they can. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. These are fairly easy, I think. Here we go.
Okay.
In which band was Phil Collins the lead singer and drummer?
Genesis.
Boom! You got it. Which David Bowie song was number one in 1983, both in the UK and the US?
Hold on a second. Could be Let's Dance.
Yes, you got it. You got it. That's it. We'll move on. You got Let's Dance. Okay. This is a multiple choice. I'm not even kidding. Complete the name of this Queen song. Another One Bites the...
I'd have to go with Dust.
Yeah, these are the answers. Another One Bites the Bullet, Pillow, Dust. Another One Bites the Pillow. Another.
Wow.
I don't know. That's it really says that. Okay. In which two cities was the rock concert Live Aid held?
Philadelphia and, hold on, Live Aid, Philly, and I want to go with Boston.
No. It's funny because I got the opposite. I got the first one. I got London. It was at Wembley Stadium and Philadelphia at JFK Stadium. That's funny. I knew it was like Wembley, but I didn't know after that. Here we go. We got.
I should have known that.
What band has a number one with the power ballad "I Want to Know What Love Is"? I want to know what love is.
Gosh, I should know this too.
I think you did a joke about it. Something with Donald Trump and the border. The answer is Foreigner.
Oh, Foreigner, of course, my Foreigner joke. Yeah, of course.
Foreigner. It's getting harder, man. It's like, okay, here we go. Why was the, I don't know if you'd know this one. Why was the video Like a Prayer by Madonna criticized by the Vatican?
Because of religious overtones?
Yes, that's it. That's it. Hall & Oates had 5 number one hits in the 1980s. Can you name 3 of the 5?
Let's see. Rich Girl?
No.
No. Let's see. God, I'm blanking on that, too.
I couldn't get this either. I'll just give you the answer. Kiss on My List, Private Eyes, I Can't Go for That, Man Eater, Out of Touch.
Oh, I should have known Man Eater and Can't Go for That.
Which Duran Duran video featured the band singing on a huge yacht? The answer is Rio.
Of course. Wow, I am blanking. Sorry.
No, I should have maybe picked the easier ones because I just.
I'm a big fan of that band too. I just haven't heard them in so long.
Okay, here we go. Last question. What was Suzanne Sully's profession before she joined the Human League? I'll give you one. You want a hint or no?
Yeah, a hint.
Okay, the Human League, the song, I'll give you the melody. It goes, I was working as a blank in a blum, blum, blum. That much is true.
Waitress?
Yeah, she was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Cocktail bar, yeah.
Yeah. Man, that was it. There you go.
I didn't do so well.
Yeah, I know, but like it's...
The bionic comic did not remember from the 80s.
Okay,
had his brain recalculating.
Yeah. Well, you probably didn't listen to this kind of 80s music. Okay, we'll end on an easy one. In which country was Bruce Springsteen born?
I would have to say the USA.
Yes, that's right. What if I'm just lying? I give you all wrong answers just to ruin your day. You're like, what a dick.
Oh, he was born in Moscow. Wait a minute, what?
Yeah. Oh, crap. Okay, my next guest is calling in. I better hop off. Frazier, right. You're the best. Thank you for everything.
Bro. That was fun.
I had so much fun. We covered so much, and you're incredible, man. You're a funny guy. You're a knowledgeable guy. You're a kind-hearted guy with a pacemaker, and your timing is impeccable.
That is right. That is right. It is impeccable. I am recalculating. Good night, Darren. Good night. Hello.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Goodbye.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.